All right, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to read again verse number 20. The Bible says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, we pray you be reconciled to God." So we are in the place of Jesus Christ, beseeching people, praying people to be reconciled to God. And you know there's only one way to be reconciled to God, as you learn in the other doctrine of the New Testament, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are representatives of Christ. We pray you in Christ's stead. That's what an ambassador is. The ambassador down to Holland, whoever he is, I don't know who he is. He's there in the place of President George Bush. He's speaking on his behalf there as the ambassador to Holland or the ambassador to Germany or the ambassador to Italy. He is speaking on the behalf of President George Bush currently in American history. That's what an ambassador does. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, as though God did plead with you by us, God pleads with you through us, we pray you in Christ's place, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so we looked at that verse last week in a little more detail, but we got to go on. Again, in Ephesians, in chapter number 6 and verse 19, Paul said in verse 20 also, and he's talking about prayer. He says, "And pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now notice what his prayer request is. His prayer request is that he could get his mouth open. All right, now that's the biggest problem there is with soul winning. And the gospel. We just don't open our mouths. It's amazing when you open your mouth what happens. Even if you bumble and stumble through it and sound like you're stupid and sound like you just fell off the turnip truck yesterday and the words are just blathering all over the place and you don't know if you're making any sense, it's amazing though how God will just use somebody that opens their mouth and says something. It's amazing. And Paul is requesting prayer for himself. Listen, pray for me, says verse 19, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth. That's all we have to do is open our mouth. We've got to say something. You can't just, you know, you can't just write people's names down on a prayer list every Wednesday night to be saved. You got to put feet to your prayer. You got to go and you've got to open your mouth. You got to go to the nursing home tomorrow. You've got to open your mouth. You've got to say something. And we're going to talk about that tonight here and approaching the door, page number 5 in our visitation and soul winning manual. You can't just knock on the door and then just stand there and go blank. When they come to the door, you've got to say something. You've got to say something. And so it's good to prepare some kind of a presentation. Some kind of a presentation. It's all right if it's memorized or it's something that you kind of say the same thing each and every time. It's okay. But you got to have some kind of a presentation. He says, pray for me that I may open my mouth, how? Boldly. Why? To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So notice, speak boldly, speak, open my mouth, make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, the two secrets are, number one, you got to go. You can't just think about this the rest of your life. You can't sit through soul-winning seminar after seminar after seminar after seminar after seminar and learn it all and do nothing with it. You've got to go. You've got to go, and you've got to go believing. And then when you go, you've got to open your mouth. You've got to open your mouth, and you've got to say something. I've been in situations where I've been with partners, and we go up to the door, and I thought he was going to say something. He just stood there and got paralyzed in fear, froze up, and then I had to jump in. Hey, how you doing, you know, especially when you're going to see his friend. Hey, I want you to go see a friend with me. So he knocks on the door, and I'm just standing there, and you start looking at him, and you figure out he's not going to say anything. That's happened. You've got to say something. You've got to say something. And it's amazing how things happen when you say something. God uses words. Words are power. Most of us are what we are today by the words we have heard in our lives. Now, here's a cute little story here about approaching the door. And this little story I borrowed and put in the booklet is called A Communication Problem for Sure. It says, an energetic new Christian knocked on a door, and when the man of the house answered, the well-meaning witness asked, are there any Christians here? No, responded the man. The Christians live down the road. We're the Joneses. I mean, stammered the caller, are you lost? Oh, no, came the quick reply. We've lived here 25 years and know the area very well. Well, pressed the embarrassed novice, where will you be on the judgment day? I don't know. What day is it? Well, we don't really know. It could be one day or another. Well, be sure to let us know, came the answer. I'm sure my wife will want to go to both days. So communicating our faith can often be a frustrating and defeating problem. Often we hear sermons on the necessity of witnessing, but when we go out to try it, we leave feeling not only fruitless, but also confused and anxious. How do we get started? What do we talk about? Words seem to come hard, and thoughts often cannot filter through our fears. Boy, that is the truth. And so we've got to know what to say. You know, the fear of speaking to strangers is really one of the greatest fears that people have. But you know, I was just reading in Psalm 34 last night at home. It says, there's a verse in Psalm 34 that says, this poor man cried and the Lord delivered him from all of his fears. Now, it's easy to quote that, but let's see you live it. Let's see you live it. And just say, Lord, deliver me from my fear of speaking to other people. And we've got to get to that point. There's a very small percentage of born-again believers that ever lead a soul to Christ because they never deal with that fear of talking to somebody else. Not only do you have fears, but the people you meet have fears, and so you got to try to relieve those fears. So A, when you go out and you approach the door, be observant. Some people live in fear. Now, if a sign says, no trespassing, or trespassers will be shot, or guard dogs on duty, or no solicitors, beware. You might accomplish more if you note the address and send a card with a gospel tract in it. I've done that a few times. Never gotten a response. But I have done that. I have said, dear sir, my name is Art Cole. I was visiting in your area for the Lord recently, and I noticed your sign that said trespassers will be shot, and private property do not enter, and just out of respect to your sign, I did not come to your door. But I do want you to know that God loves you and cares about you very much. And I've enclosed a little leaflet, a little Bible study that can tell you now you can know for sure. And I've done that. I've actually done that to people where they have those, you know, signs all over, and they got, you know, big dogs in the yard, and so on. Now, the respect you show for these people's wishes might touch their hearts. I don't know. There's a word, this isn't exactly what it means, but a secondary interpretation of Philippians 3 and verse 2 says, beware of dogs. Now, I have been bit twice while out on visitation, and twice by dogs. I got attacked by a goose once, and those things are mean, I'm telling you. If you feel there is a real danger of physical harm, again, it might be better for you to write down the address and send them a note with a track inside. Why not? They have a soul. You don't, you never know what to do, you know. I was going to stop by and meet you and say hi to you, but I noticed your big guard dog tied up to your porch, and didn't feel the liberty to approach the door, and I just wanted you to know that I'm so-and-so from such and such a church, and that God loves you, and we care enough about you to be concerned for your soul. And if you'd like to just take a moment and read this track, if you ever have any questions, feel free to call me or call us or whatever. You can write them a note, okay? So be observant. B, use common sense. If someone's out mowing their lawn, they probably do not want to be disturbed. Or if there's a big party going on, a graduation party or family reunion, it might be a better testimony to go back another day. Use some old-fashioned common sense. Note the not homes and go back another time, maybe on a different day or at a different time. If you go to the same house three times in a row on Saturday at 11 a.m., and every time you go there Saturday at 11 a.m., nobody's there for three straight weeks, it might be a place you want to go back on a Tuesday night or something. But they're obviously somewhere else Saturday at 11 a.m. After you've gone back two or three times, leave a note in a tract. Don't give up after only one try. I know Tony and I did that in a house in Blaisdell. A guy attended our Christmas program. He wasn't home. We didn't leave anything in the door. We're going to go back. We're going to go back and see if we can catch him home. And then after a few tries, maybe leave him a note. C is important. Walk briskly. Do not walk slowly or stare at houses. Be businesslike. When you do that, people think what you have to say is important. If you're businesslike. Exit as, do not sit in your car. All right, don't pull into their driveway and just start stare at their house for about 5 minutes. They might think you're staking out the joint. You don't know what they might think nowadays. Okay, just pull in, shut the car off, and get out of the car as fast as you can, and then approach the house briskly. And they'll think, hey, these people are have some important business. Do not talk when approaching a house. Avoid making comments about the yard or house until you engage them in conversation. Never say anything like, they ought to fix this rain gutter, or they could use some paint on this house, or they must have kids. Look at the junk all over the yard, that type of thing. It's best to say nothing until they answer the door. They might actually hear you make a comment like that. Knock loudly. If you knock softly, they'll think you're a little child. And, knock loudly, knock with authority. Not too soft, not too loud. Don't trust doorbells unless you can actually hear them ringing with your ear. If you can't hear them ringing, knock on the door. And the next, step back from the door. Step back from the door. After knocking, take a few steps back. If there are steps, step down one or two of them. Give them space. The space will give them some peace and show them that you are non-threatening. Only approach them after you have introduced yourself to shake their hand. That is, if it's a man, and never shake a lady's hand unless she extends it. Don't approach them unless it's to shake their hand or to give them a tract or to enter their house if they have let you in. And so stay away, because you know if you knock on the door and the door is right here, and they open the door and there's your face, you know it's just going to scare them. And but if you knock on the door and you step way back and you give them some space. Now the next point is this: look away from the door. Don't be staring at the door as soon as they open the door like, oh. So it's best to step back and just look away and let them see you first and then turn towards them, okay? And then you got to have a smile. Put a smile on your face. There is a lot of power in a smile and friendliness. Try to win them to yourself. It will help you to win them to the Lord. And so these are very important items right here that will help you get a little bit of an advantage as you approach a door for whatever type of visitation it might be. Believe me, these things help. These things work. These things will give you an advantage. Will help because there's going to be enough struggles with their fears and they don't know you in some cases. And so you want to give yourself every advantage. Now then, they've opened the door. You've got to say something. You can't just stand there smiling. You've got to say something. And what to do when someone answers the door? Well, here's a couple scenarios. We talk about A, first of all, door-to-door visitation, and B, visiting a contact. And these things could be applied to something we've started since we wrote this booklet on delivering gift bags or whatever. But you've got to say something. Once they open the door, you can't just stand there smiling at them. You got to determine beforehand who's going to speak. I think we talked about that last week. Okay, I'll speak when they answer the door this time. And I don't know if I get to it in here or not. Maybe later I do. But once you get into the gospel, if you're not the one sharing the gospel, then stare at the one who is. Don't stare at the person they're talking to. You know, if your partner's sharing the gospel, just stare at him. And if he says something that makes a point or you agree with, you know, you can nod your head or something like that. And that person won't feel it's two on one. You know, they won't feel it. So stare. Look at the person who's talking. The same thing with you teens. If you're out at the festivals and you're together with and one of you gets into a conversation, or if you're out at the fair and one of you gets into a conversation about the gospel with another teen or somebody, don't stare at that other teen. Look at your friend and just rivet your eyes to that person. Don't go like this and then after he makes a point. Like, yeah. It's just rivet your eyes on your friend there and just stare at him. And you know, agree with him, nod your head, or be praying for the person you're talking to. And so I'm just telling you, little things like this can give you an advantage. Now, what do you say? Well, you got to say something. So here's a little thing that I've come up with that I've used, especially when approaching a new door. And I just put in some names in the booklet here. This is my name. But they knock, you smile, you're friendly, you say, "Hey, hi, how are you doing today? My name is John, this is Joe. We're out meeting our neighbors and wanted to stop by and say hi. I'm the pastor at the Faith Bible Baptist Church in Eden, one of the local churches in town, and we're trying to get to know more people in the area. What is your name?" And then right about then, you got to listen for their name, because a lot of times you're so concentrating right here on what you're going to say, the person tells your name, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other. About 5 seconds later, you're going to want to repeat that name, and you're not going to remember it. So help me, it's happened to me dozens of times. Dozens of times. So I try to repeat their name. My name's Bill. Bill, I'm glad to meet you. So try to remember the person's name, because you're going to want, if you get into the gospel, you're going to want to use their name. People love hearing their name more than any word on earth. And it's another advantage. When you get to the gospel, you're talking to them, "Now, Bill, God loves you." The Bible says right here, "For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Bill, that word whosoever means your name. You could put your name in there. "For God so loves Bill, if he believes in the Lord, he'll be saved," and so on. You got to remember their name. I'm telling you, it's something that will help you. But you got to say something. So you could try to learn this reproach. "Hi, my name is John. This is Joe. We're out meeting our neighbors and wanted to stop by and say hi. Now, everybody has a position. I hope you have a position in the church. If anything, you could say, "I'm a member of one of the local churches in town here, the Faith Bible Baptist Church, or one of the local churches in the area." You know, if you're up in Lackawanna, I'm saying town. "I'm a member from one of the local churches in the area around here, out in Eden, New York, Faith Bible Baptist Church, or I'm a Sunday school teacher at the Faith Bible Baptist Church, one of the local churches, or I'm an usher at one of the local churches in town, the Faith Bible Baptist Church, or I'm a children's church worker at one of the local churches in the area, the Faith Bible Baptist Church out in Eden. I don't care what you say, I'm a nursery worker. I work in the nursery over at one of the local churches in the Faith Bible." If you give them a if you, I'm telling you, this will help you. If you give them some kind of a position you hold, it'll give you more authority. It'll give you more authority. Listen to this verse. I base that on this verse right here. 1 Timothy 3, you can write on your notes if you want. Verse 13, it says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." I looked at that verse one time and said, why do they have great boldness in the faith? Well, because they have a position in the church. I mean, these men back then are if a man's a deacon, he could go out and say, I'm a deacon at one of the local churches in the area, Faith Bible Baptist Church in Eden. And all of a sudden, that person is going to think what? Wow, a dignitary from the church has come to see me. I don't care what your position is. Find out what your position is. And I'm a Sunday school assistant. Now, they don't know what that means, but it sounds like you're something. I'm a Sunday school assistant at one of the local churches in the area, and we're just out doing some visiting today at the Faith Bible Baptist Church over in Eden, New York. And so state your position. I'm the youth pastor. I'm an assistant pastor. Or I'm one of the secretaries over at one of the churches. I like using that generic one of the local churches in the area. Because that makes them sound like, you know, that's what, like when we go out door to door. I don't know how many doors we knocked on this year with the Christmas caroling. I went up to the door and said, we're just from one of the local churches in the area. Wanted to stop by and wish you a Merry Christmas. And give you something to read. You have some events coming up. At the church, and on the other side of that card, there's a little Bible study there. It talks about what the true meaning of Christmas is, how Jesus Christ came, whatever, to save us and so on. You know, we didn't really get into many good conversations, but that relaxes them. Oh, we're from one of the local churches in the area. I can't tell you how much that relaxes people. If you just say, we're from the Baptist church, bang! Boy, you just shot up a whole wall, man. You just built a wall between you and that person. We're Catholics. But if you say those words, we're just from one of the local churches in the area, getting out, meeting people in the community, and wanted to stop by and say, hi, I'm a Sunday school assistant at the church, and we just want to see if you folks attend any particular church in the area. And you can start with church, but you don't want to talk about church. You want to get to Christ. So try to befriend the person. Where am I? Well, let's go back. Then remember their name. What's your name? I like to say, what is your first name? Because if you're there, what's your first and last name? And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, you got the Privacy Act and all that stuff going on through their head. Then remember their name. Sometimes we are, that's not right, is it? That's not good English. Sometimes we are concentrate so much on what we say. We're going to reprint this. We don't pay attention to what they are saying. Relax, be friendly, be human, be real. Avoid a canned presentation. Now, I think the easiest way to be relaxed talking to somebody other is by loving them. If you'll really love them, you will be interested in them. I think God's interested in us, don't you? Why, he really loves us. And if we really love people, you'll be interested in them. You'll humble people enjoy others. And go out and be humble. And just try to meet. But try to befriend the person. Win them to yourself so you can win them to Christ. Jesus was very personal and friendly with people. He was known as the friend of publicans and sinners. Luke 7 and verse number 34. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 verse 23 that if a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And 1 Corinthians 13:4 says charity is kind. So we've got to be kind. We've got to be friendly to people. You know, you can't hand them a track and they say, I don't want that, and they close the door. Well, then you know where you're going. Okay, that's not kind or friendly. Find a comfortable way to break the ice. Compliment them or seriously inquire about them. For example, if you live here a long time Or you have a beautiful garden, or how many children do you have? You know, if you see little children, I see your children there. Tony and I were at one lady's house Saturday, and a little girl was like hanging onto her leg. So this is, and who's that? Oh, this is my granddaughter Haley. And another kid popped and said, oh, who's that? And this is, you know, so and so. How many grandkids you got? And of course, any grandmother wants to talk about her grandkids. You made a friend instantly. How many grandkids you got? Well, that's wonderful. What do you do for a living, Bill? Or if you're doing the gift bag, well, we just moved in the area. Well, where are you from originally? And try to get to know them. People love to talk about themselves, their children, their interests, their house, their employment. They do not like to talk about politics, religion, or money. So we want to talk about Christ, not religion. So we want to get away from our church is better than your church type of stuff. We want to get to Christ. All right, don't talk about money. Hey, how much did this house cost you? Or what are your car payments? Or how much do you earn? You don't say that to people. Those are no-nos. Now, eventually turn the conversation around to the condition of their souls. This can be done quite effectively by handing them a gospel tract and inviting them to church services. If you hand them the tract showing them the church schedule part, like right here, you can say, we would be honored to have you as a guest at our church sometime. Here's a leaflet with the schedule of our services on it. Invariably, I've never seen anything else happen but this. And as soon as they do that, I say, and that's a Bible study right there that tells a person how they can know for sure that they're going to heaven sometime. Do you have that assurance? See how easy that was? So, you know, we'd love to have you. You know, even if they say they're Catholic, I say, well, we've had a lot of Catholics visit our church over the years, and we've always tried to make them welcome, and here's a schedule of our church service times, and they'll take that, and I have never seen anybody but that they didn't go like this. And as soon as they do that, I say, and inside of there is a little Bible study from our church that tells a person how they can know for sure that they're going to heaven someday. Do you have that assurance? That was pretty easy, wasn't it? That was pretty easy. That's all you have to do. And take gospel tracts with you, the kind that have the church schedule on the back. And eventually you're going to want to get around to, you know, handing them a church tract. Now have the same one in your pocket, because many times you'll see people go like this. And that's when you get out one yourself. And you'll say, yeah, what this says is how we can have the assurance that we're going to heaven someday. And this one says that there are just four things you need to know in order to go to heaven. Now, believe me, they're going to stop you if they're not interested. Just trust me. Say, well, I'll read this sometime, but I really got to get going now. You know, I got to take my kid to soccer practice or something. They'll shut the conversation down. But once in a while, you run across that person who's ready, and you're right into the gospel. You know, I want to encourage you, don't say something like this. Would you mind if I took a few minutes and showed you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? Ask a question, get a no. All right, that's just how it is today. Ask a question, get a no, N-O. Just start in on it, and they'll stop you. Believe me, they'll stop you. Well, I got to get going, but I'll read this sometime. Well, thanks, sir, for your time. And check that out. If you ever have any questions, you know, our church phone number's on the back, or come down and see us, or I'd be glad to talk to you about it. Because you're not gonna do the kingdom of God any good if you try forcing something down, forcing people to listen to something they don't want to listen to. You're not going to do it any good. Sorry. You're going to do more good by walking away than saying, hey, that guy didn't try cramming it down my throat. Then you're going to say, well, this is important. I don't care about your kid's soccer game. They're going to answer the question. Do you have that assurance? They'll probably respond, I sure hope so, or I think so, or nobody can know that for sure. You can answer with something like this, sir, for some time in my life, I didn't know either. I thought you had to wait and find out at the judgment. Then someone shared with me how I could know that I'm going to heaven. God loves us, and he wants us to be able to know how. And I like to say this. I didn't write it in the booklet here. I like to say this when I'm talking to people. God doesn't want us to spend our whole life wondering if we're going, because all that does is torments our minds. I like to say that to that because a lot of people are feeling the same way. See, God doesn't want us to go through our lives just wondering if we're going to go to heaven for sure, because that would just torment our minds. He loves us more than that, and he wants us to know for sure that we are going to heaven. And this is just something that somebody shared with me one time, and this is with the gospel tracts again. He's got one, I got one now. And this is the greatest thing I ever learned. And there's some things in here are bad news, and then there's good news, and I'm not going to get into the gospel plans tonight because our time's about up, because we went over 7 of them already if you were here for those. But this is leading up to the gospel plan. And I think I explained the rest here. Okay, then last of all for tonight, that would be like door-to-door or a brand new house that you've gone to where you don't know the person from Adam. But what about visiting a contact? Now, what do we mean by a contact? We mean somebody who's visited the church once, or maybe their child rode a bus, or their teen came for a youth rally, or to vacation Bible school, or something, and you're following up. You could start by saying, hello, I'm John, this is Joe, we're from the Faith Bible Baptist Church over in Eden, one of the local churches in town, and we want to just stop by on the behalf and say, and do this, if it was a kid, for instance, thank you for letting your son Billy attend our daily vacation Bible school. And thank you for, we just want to stop by and say thank you for letting your son Billy attend our Sunday school, our children's church, or ride our bus, or whatever the situation might be. Right away, you've taken their defense down. Oh, I'll say, that's okay. You know, they think like they really did us a big favor. Letting Billy come to our Sunday school, and we're just so glad that you know, there's a family in town that's concerned about the spiritual needs of their son, and it, you know, it takes a lot to send a child to a brand new church, and we really wanted to thank you for letting them come. And then of course you want to go on from there. They'll probably respond in some way. Hopefully Billy liked it. Then, while handing Billy's mother a track, again with the service schedule, you know, Mrs. Smith, we'd be honored to have you visit our church sometime. Here's a little bit more information about our church, the address of the church and the schedule of our services, and you hand that to her. She's going to take it, and I'm not kidding. She'll look at it for a while, but I'm not kidding. She'll go like this eventually. She'll go like that with the track. That's when you can say, and that's a little Bible study right there that our church wrote and printed up, and it's about something really important. And it talks about how you can have, how you can know for sure that you're going to go to heaven someday. And that's the main message our church tries to get across. That's what we tried to share with your son Billy this past Sunday. And Mrs. Smith, do you have that assurance? Do you feel that you're going to be going to heaven someday? And she may say, now this one here says, are you 50%, 75%, 100% sure that you're going to heaven someday? She may be reading that, and you can just use the question, same thing. But it is so easy to get into that conversation by simply saying that. Do you have that assurance? And then you get the usual responses, as I already covered. No, nobody can know that, or I hope so, or I'm about 50%, or yeah, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. No, don't say that. Don't say that. You can say, wow, Mrs. Smith, that's wonderful. What do you base that assurance on? And she'll say something like, well, I've been good all my life. I've been going to church all my life. And now don't look at her and say, boy, are you dead wrong. You know, that's a tough situation right there. I like to say, well, Mrs. Smith, I think that's really admirable that you've been going to church all of your life. I think it's a great thing. I think it shows that you have an interest in spiritual things. And one of the things we learn at the church is the Bible, and God wrote the Bible. One of the reasons why he wrote the Bible is so we could know for sure that we're going to heaven. So I haven't blasted down our arguments. I've tried to get the conversation around to the gospel. Again, by turning your attention to the inside of the track, you might be able to start sharing the gospel with her. Conversations should be friendly and can take many different twists. Feel free to spend a little time with the person, but once you have started the gospel presentation, stick to the subject. Now, if they bring up doctrinal questions or questions about religions, you could say something like, "Well, that's a good question, and I think I might be able to give you a good answer. But just so I don't lose my train of thought, let me just finish explaining this to you, because this really helped me a lot in life, and I'd really like you to know this." You know, they might say, "Oh, yeah, well, yeah, what about the Hindus, though, over in India? I mean, you know, they're going to say something like that." Well, that's a good question. And I think I could, I think I may have a pretty good answer for that, but let me just stick to this right now, and as soon as I'm done, I'll try to answer that question for you. I promise you I will. Or what about the people in the jungle that have never heard the gospel? Well, you know, that's a really good question. And I think I have a pretty good answer for that, but just so I don't lose my train of thought, let me just stick to this, and in just a minute I'll get back to that question of yours. I think I might be able to help answer that. You know, and no matter what they ask you, you know, what about my grandpa? He was an atheist. What about him? Well, you know, that's a really good question. I think I have an answer for you. But just so I don't lose my train of thought, let me just get through this, and then I promise you I'll try to come back and answer that question for you. Now, usually by the time you're done with this, the question's answered. You know, and they already, you've answered the question by sharing the gospel with them. So, don't get derailed, because boy, I'll tell you what, you bring up a hot button topic, and you're going to have a tough time getting them back in the right spirit to hear the gospel. Now, another icebreaker question is, "Mrs. Smith, is there any particular church you attend regularly?" You know, we know Billy came to our church. Well, yeah, we go over to such and such a Catholic church or such and such Episcopalian church. Now, by her answer, you can often find out her spiritual standing. If she names a particular church you know of, you might want to compliment their building or grounds. I do that all the time. Usually, the Catholic church is the nicest building in town. So I don't slam Catholics, but I don't, you know, defend their religion either. But I usually say, "I know where that church is. You have a beautiful facility over there. That's a beautiful church, a beautiful facility. You have a nice school you have over there. I don't know who takes care of that place, but they do a nice job." Now, I haven't confirmed them in their religion. I've just complimented their church building. Don't give the impression that you approve of their religion, however. You know, they're going to say, "Oh, we're all God's children." And you've got to say, "Well, you know something? We are all God's children in the sense that he is our creator. But to be one of God's children, we have to become part of his family." And then you can try to get in the gospel. But even, I don't care what they say, Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Methodist, or something, you can say something like this: "I'm glad to meet someone who has an interest in spiritual things. I'm glad to meet someone who has an interest in spiritual things. Mrs. Smith, do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven someday?" And then you can try to get into the gospel. Do you have that assurance? All right, so we've gone over these two examples that are basic soul-winning opportunities in church-wide visitation, door-to-door visiting contacts. And we'll pick up and finish next Wednesday night. All right? All right, let's pray.